Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. Today we're going to be digging into an insightful Yahoo Finance piece that outlines 6 common financial mistakes boomers are making. And we want to find out if boomers are sabotaging their own retirement without even realizing it. So we're going to cover these today so you can avoid them before it's too late.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everyone. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here, as he is each and every week, investment advisor, representative, Silverleaf Financial, 30-plus years helping folks. Again, if you're a regular to the podcast, you know all that. If you're new to the podcast, then just go ahead and visit SilverleafFinancial.com, SilverleafFinancial.com. You get a chance to see Kevin and set up an appointment. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, I am good, Steve. It's always good to be here. And, guys, definitely check out the website. It's super simple to set up an appointment. That's just a 10 or 15 minute phone call to start, because I have found after doing this for so long that a short phone call is usually enough for most people to figure out, could we be a good fit and do you want to go forward and set up a more in-depth face-to-face meeting? So sure. That's the whole point behind it. I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't want to make it as easy as possible, and that's got a live link to my calendar. So if it says I'm available, then it means I'm available. I will call you at the time you schedule. So please take a look. There's a ton of information out there for to try to make it easier for everybody.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. It's a great site.
Oh, you know what? We're always trying to approve it and add to it, and we put new content up every week. So, yeah,
yes,
take a
indeed.
Look, folks. I think you'll like it.
Absolutely. Well, as we get into this, you know, we're talking baby boomers in particular in this case. And so Yahoo Finance says that there's some mistakes that boomers continue to make. Well, let's avoid that.
Yeah, you know what? Nobody wants to make a mistake. Not about retirement. Not about what's your life in retirement.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And so one of the things that's come up over and over and over is that a lot of people think, you know, I've been working hard. I've been putting my money away for decades. I've got to have enough by now, right? And they overestimate. A lot of them overestimate how much they're going to get from Social Security. And a lot of people have a mistaken belief that it's going to replace, you know, that it's going to cover all your bills. And when you look into the numbers, you'll see the average is somewhere between $1,900. It's bumping up against $2,000 a month in terms of the average amount everybody receives from that program, which is obviously nice supplemental income. But, guys, when this was all put together, the idea was for it to replace 40% of your income. So, in theory, you should have 2.5 times as much income from other sources, not including Social Security. So if you're getting $2,000 a month, you should have $3,000 a month from other sources. That's the original basis of the program. And so it's important you don't overestimate it, and you want to make sure that you go into Social Security. I've talked to a lot of people that are retired, and they haven't even set up an account on the Social Security website. And I'd strongly advise you to go. It's ssa.gov. Set it up. You're going to have to go through the multi-factor authentication, things like that, which is what you want to do, because it's designed to keep you safe and to keep you know, the wrong person from getting your info. But you can go in there and you can double check your record, which is what I really recommend, because it happened to me. In other words, it was only because I try to be diligent and look at the website and make sure it's got the correct earnings history, because, of course, that's what determines your check, one of the things that determines your check. And so what I found is they had missed an entire year for both me and my wife, and which I still have no – I don't think I'll ever know how it happened, because I use a payroll service. I have me and my wife. We are on payroll. The only problem with it is I pay twice as much Social Security and FICA because I'm both the employer and the employee. So we pay
lucky
both
you.
Sides. Yeah, right. It doesn't really feel lucky when you look at the numbers, though. But nonetheless, we pay into the program, and I've been using it. The payroll provider, I pay them to file the reports, the quarterly reports, all this stuff. And somehow there was an entire year that was missed. So anyway, then I had to go through. I had to work between the IRS and the Social Security Administration to get everybody on the same page and to realize they screwed up. And after about 3 or 4 months, I was able to get it straightened out, and it's been fixed ever since. But if I wasn't watching and I had waited until I was ready to retire and collect that check, that would have been messed up for months, because it took them, like I said, between 3 and 4 months to fix it. And I don't know about anybody else, but I certainly don't like anybody messing with my paycheck. So, or my Social Security, or when I get a Social Security check, don't mess with my money.
No.
And so, right? Nobody wants anyone else messing with their money. So, guys, take a look at it. It shows you how much your check would be if you retired at 62 or at 67. You can check any year you want, but it gives you automatically 62, 67, and 70. And so you can see the difference. The difference in your check between 62 and 70 is almost a double. It is a big, big difference. It goes up
about... Big number.
It's a big number, right? It goes up every single month that you wait. You don't have to wait a full year to get a bump in it. You wait half a year, you get about a 4% bump, all right? So every month you wait to claim your Social Security, that's extra money that's going to be coming into your pocket down the road, and it's going to come to you every month for the rest of your life. So that's why you want to be very careful in when you claim Social Security. It's the only account that I'm aware of anywhere in this country that is guaranteed to grow almost 8% per year. Period. End of story. Show me one other account that has anywhere near that guarantee.
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Nowhere.
Guys, the 10-year treasury is back down to 4.25, okay? The highest fixed interest rate, guaranteed fixed interest rate I can find is about, I can get about 5.75 on a guaranteed basis for 5 years. That's about the highest. I was still getting 6% a couple weeks ago, and they dropped it. So when the fixed income market and the bond market are at levels that they're at, that's what I look at, and I say, you know what, where else can you get anywhere near that guarantee, that high of a guaranteed return? And then so people will say, what you want to think about is your life expectancy in your family. And so if you have a history of long life, your siblings, your parents, your grandparents, if you have a history of people living to like 85 or better, then you might really benefit by waiting until 70. Because what you want to do, if you do the math, and I have done it, if you do the math on all, if let's say you start collecting at 62 and you add up all the checks that you receive, the cumulative total, and then you compare that to age 67, if that, whatever your full retirement age is, and you'll see that on average, it will take you to around 77 to pass the cumulative total that you would have received if you started collecting at 62.
Interesting.
All right. Now, in my opinion, that's a good bet for most people, at least waiting until full retirement age. But if you think there's a good chance you're going to live past the age of, let's say, 82 or 83, that's when I suggest waiting until 70, because that's the age you've got to get to in order to have made waiting until age 70 make the cumulative amount of money you've received from Social Security exceed what you would have got if you claimed earlier. Does that make sense, Steve?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, absolutely. What a great way to see it. That way.
You know what? That's what I've found is the easiest way for people to try to relate to it. And most everybody says, well, you still have no way of knowing. And of course, that's true. None of us know our exact expiration date. And I honestly don't know if I'd want to. All right. But the reality, it would make it easier to plan. That's for sure. Those are the numbers, guys, and they're within a year. Pretty much for everybody that I've calculated it for. And so just know that it's around 77 plus or minus a year for that first to claim it full at your full retirement age. And then you got to make it past about 82, 83 to make claiming at 70 make sense. So if you got a bunch of people like me, my father made it to 93. I've got an aunt that made it to 97. My grandfather made it to 82.
You know, you got some good long life on your side.
I got some good longevity, and all of my siblings, save one, I'm the youngest of six. They're all alive and healthy, and the one that's not, it was because of her lifestyle that she died early. So I don't consider that to be a good comparison. My plan is to wait until 70, unless something else happens, right? If some sort of a health situation comes up, then, you know, if you get diagnosed with some chronic health condition, then of course you want to reconsider your decision. All right. But if you're healthy and you feel good, then I'm going to take the opinion that you should wait as long as you can. And I'll tell you something else, guys. This just happened coincidentally to be where I'm at. I'm 60 right now, okay? And I'll be 61 in September. And I'm an advocate of term life insurance. I'm not a big believer in the other life insurance policies where they talk about different benefits, you know, cash value accumulation and things like that. Mm-hmm. It just never made sense to me because the cost of insurance I felt pretty high. So I always go with the term policy, and the term policy that I had just expired, and I had to get a new life insurance policy because if something happens, I want to make sure that my wife is covered, right?
Oh, of course.
And so I opted for a 10-year policy thinking, you know what, by then I'm retired, we've got money put away, everything is paid for, and my wife should be perfectly fine if something happens to me in my 70s. So, but when I looked at it and I went through underwriting, I said, you know what, if the insurance company is confident enough that they give me a high rating, right, on a 10-year policy, it means they are literally putting their money behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Because my premium is $140 a month for 10 years, and it's a $500,000 policy. And I got a preferred rating on the underwriting. And so it works out to, what is that, something like 18 or 19 grand over 10 years? So they're going to make less than 20 grand over 10 years, and they're betting that I won't die because they'd receive less than 20 grand, and they're going to pay out 500,000, right?
Right.
So that's just something that I personally went through. If you happen to be near that situation, to me, it's third-party credibility. It's a third-party opinion that says, hey, man, we think you're definitely living, you know, at least past 70. You know, so for what it's worth, that's something that I do look at. Because they look at all your records, they look at your medical records, they look at your lab tests, they look at everything, including your credit score. So anyway, yep. I'm off on a little side tangent here, if you will. I do think that it's important that everybody have those coverages in place. And going back to Social Security to take a look at it, you know, to make sure that they didn't miss anything. And then you can see to make sure, one, you've qualified, you've met all the requirements. It should tell you, it does tell you, you know, that you've qualified for Medicare, you've qualified for disability payments if you become disabled. It'll mm-hmm. tell you how much that's supposed to be. You can put in calculations for you and your spouse so you can see, you know, how much that would be. And guys, let me mention something to you. I've seen a lot of people write articles, you know, like questions to a financial publication, things like that. And they ask, if the other spouse dies, am I going to get both checks? And unfortunately, the answer is no, okay?
No.
You're only going to get the bigger of the two checks. You won't get them both, okay? But you'll get the bigger of the two. And so the point that I'm getting at is if one of you has a significantly larger Social Security check coming, then that's the person, in my opinion, that should work the longest or at least delay claiming it. If you've got enough, you know, right? You know, if you've got money, you get a couple million put to the side, and you can make $100,000 a year in interest, and you can live off that, and you don't have to touch your Social Security, you're in a golden position. You can wait until 70, claim then, and boom, you're set.
Right? Oh, yeah. What a great way to go, huh?
Yeah. That's it. That would be nice. Because, you know, all the billionaires, they get their check too, right?
Of course they do.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they paid into it. They should get money back out of it. But sometimes I look at it and I say, okay, he's worth $200 billion. Do we really have to send him a Social Security check?
That's what I'm wondering, yeah. Well, means testing is around the corner, though, isn't it?
It
almost has to be.
I hope it is, guys, because the thing that I'm worried with, I've talked about it many, many times on the show, you know, is that our national debt problem is a massive, massive problem. And I'm going to use the president's word and say that it will obliterate a lot of these government programs if they don't get it under control. And they just announced that the program's going to go bust a year sooner than before because of the changes that the last administration made with the windfall provision where people that got other pensions, they weren't able to get their check or not as big of a check, and then they made it so they did get their check. Well, that's going to make the program bust a year earlier, right? If they stop taxing Social Security, that's going to make the program go bust earlier, okay? If the government brings in less revenue, we bring in less payroll taxes. In other words, we go into recession. We keep kicking out people out of the country that were paying payroll taxes. It's going to go bust sooner, okay? So I think we should. I think we've got a world full of very debt hungry people. Comfortable with debt. The whole world's in a massive amount of debt. So anyway, my point is, if they pass this bill, it's going to add another $3 trillion, roughly, according to several independent analyses, and that's going to push us to around $40 trillion. We're already paying $1 trillion in interest, which is another reason why the government wants to bring interest rates down. But the thing is, they can't control the long end of the curve. And so, in other words, they can control the overnight Fed funds rate. That affects lending overnight between banks, Federal Reserve, stuff like that. But the 10-year Treasury and longer, those are going to be determined by the bond market. And what I'm worried about is that we're already seeing central banks around the world reduce their U.S. dollar reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very worrying trend to me, because have you heard this? Does anyone else mention that the U.S. dollar has its biggest drop the first half of this year going back 50 years? The biggest drop is down almost 10. It's between 10 and 11%. The U.S. dollar versus other currencies. Look at the Dixie, DXY. That's the comparison of the U.S. dollar against other currencies. I want to say it's down like 10.7% since Trump took office. Okay? And him name calling and being the junior high kid getting ready to pick a fight, calling Jerome Powell a total moron. Okay, Trump's the total moron. It's unbelievable. He's, in my opinion, a needy, narcissistic man-child. That's what he is. And so there, I put it out. Okay, I think that it's a shame that we've got somebody that wants to be a dictator, that wants to run us further into debt. And I think he's doing it because that's what he did with his companies. He borrowed, until they went bankrupt. He didn't go bankrupt, but a bunch of his companies did. And so that's what I'm worried about, because right now, going back to Social Security, the government is forced to cut your check 21% if they don't fix the program when the reserves are gone. And that's estimated to be in the 9 to 10 year range, which happens to be the same time I was planning to collect. All right, so.
Yeah.
All right,
well,
guys.
I'll tell you what, just for contrast, I work with a lot of different advisors, and I did a show this week with a guy in Massachusetts. He's 77 years old, loves what he does, and he got deadly serious about budgeting and taking that 21% cut in Social Security, put it in your plan. I mean, he was adamant.
No, that's exactly where I was going. You're right in my mind. That's right where I was going, guys. You've got to put it in your plan if they cut it 20%. Maybe it's 20, maybe it's 18, maybe it's 21 or 22.
Whatever.
We don't know. But I know that, okay, this is part of the reason I've been buying Bitcoin. I buy the ETFs. I don't buy the actual coin. I don't want to take a chance with storage. A lot of the crypto theft that you see is taking place like the one on Coinbase, for instance.
Yes.
They're taking the actual coins, okay? There hasn't been an issue with anybody stealing the ETFs. You get what I'm saying? So, in my opinion, you can do that cold wallet and all this stuff, but I've seen plenty of people have lost a lot of money, okay? Like, just look up the Coinbase mess that happened a while back.
Yeah,
I know,
it was a huge mess.
It was huge. It was a huge hack. And so, but part of the reason I'm buying it, and I also started buying gold a while back, which I've talked about on the show, is because it used to be historically that the right side of the party, the Republicans, we're the ones concerned about debt and too much deficit and too much borrowing and things like that. But that's all out the window. That is completely out the window. They have added more to the deficit in the first half of this year than any administration in history. All right? And if they pass this bill, it's going to get worse. And so I think people should stop asking for tax breaks, and I think we should have a national movement to pay off our debt. But I think that's got as much of a chance as a lead air balloon. So it's unfortunate, but this is where we're at. And so because of that, I believe digital currency and gold and other assets could be very good investments for the long term. As we mentioned, the strength of the U.S. dollar on a worldwide basis, you've lost over 10% of your buying power just since Trump took office, all right? So ask yourself what the world thinks of his policies, all right? I'm not a fan of them, as you can probably tell. But going back to Social Security, plan on a 20% cut, all right? I hate saying that. I really do.
Right. Anybody does, but it's a reality that we have to face.
It's a reality we have to face because there's no way of knowing what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. The easiest thing, which I think is the route they're taking, is to just do nothing. Nothing. And then everybody's benefit will get cut across the board by the same percentage, whatever number they go with. But the shortfall is about 21%. So if you put it in your plans now, especially if you're a younger person, what I'm hoping for personally is that they don't reduce benefit checks for anybody that's retired already, and that they don't reduce them for anybody, let's say, that's over the age of 50 or something. I think that would be more fair. I had a buddy of mine that always says, yeah, where's your fair stamp? You got a fair stamp somewhere? You got a stamp somewhere in your body that says the world is fair? Obviously, we don't.
Not so much, no.
Not so much, but I think that would be obviously much more politically acceptable if you said, you know what, it's only going to affect people under the age of 50, so you got time to plan, you have time to adjust, and you can respond to this change rather than people that are already retired. And you've got 35% of the people collecting Social Security. It is their only source of income. So if you cut their check 20%, we're going to have a lot more homeless old people. That's what we're going to have. All right. So our finances as a country, I think, are a mess. So you want to make sure to prepare yourself so that you can withstand the storm, okay, and that you can handle it. So you want to estimate a 20% cut in your Social Security check, and then we need to find other ways to guarantee you income in retirement. I like the idea of living off of interest off your money as opposed to off of a brokerage portfolio. All right. If you're opposed to I like annuities too, because they're guaranteed to pay you forever. And it's the only account that doesn't stop paying if it goes to zero. But they come with an expense. And a lot of people don't want to pay the expense. So if you're like that, then I say, well, your alternative is you got to save enough money that you can live off the interest. Right. So if you've got, if you've got 600 grand and I can get you 6% interest rate, then you're going to get $3,000 a month just in interest. Now, if you take the $3,000 plus the average $2,000, you should have $5,000 for $5,000 a month. If you're married and both your husband and wife do it, you're looking at $10,000 a month. And I think most people can live on that pretty well, actually, right? Mm-hmm. So it can definitely be done, but plan on that cut, because we do not have a responsible government. We don't have a government that gives a damn about debt, and it's pretty clear. So. Hopefully, artificial intelligence and the increases in productivity and all these other pipe dreams will actually come to fruition, because that's what they're banking on. That's what they're banking on, is that deregulation and cutting and continuing the tax cuts will lead to enhancement in productivity, and the artificial intelligence revolution will further enhance that productivity. I don't know what it's going to do to the workforce, but they say it's going to enhance productivity, and that's going to be enough for us to grow our way out of the debt. So if we can achieve north of 3% growth for the next decade, it'll work. But I don't think that's ever – I don't know that it's up – I don't know we've had that much growth in the States for a long, long time. So it's we're the biggest economy in the world. What is it, $7 trillion economy or something? So I don't know how – I don't know if it's possible to grow it like that, but that's what's happening. So when we look at the world around us, I think it makes sense – if you have the risk tolerance for it, and if you're comfortable with the volatility, to put some money into something like Bitcoin, okay? I see central banks around the world are starting a small allocation to it. Just think about if they would just allocate a tiny percentage of central bank reserves to that currency, what would happen to the price? That's why you got guys like Michael Saylor calling for, what, $10 million or something on Bitcoin? No, I think he raised it to $20 million. I think he said 20 million by 2050. Anyway, it's currently just over 100,000. It's like 107, roughly. And so I like IBIT, that is the world's biggest Bitcoin exchange traded fund. Fidelity's Bitcoin is F, like Fidelity, BTC. That's the second biggest one. They have very comparable expense ratios, about 15 basis points. And then there's BTC. It's a grayscale mini Bitcoin trust, symbol is BTC. It has the lowest expense ratio at 0.12. So I own all three of those personally, and I own them for clients, but it's only for clients that know this thing can easily go up or down 10% in one day.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Okay? And I think I think there's been four or five times that it's hit new highs that in the following year or 2 years, it lost half of its value. A couple of those times, it dropped as much as 65 or 70%. So we could be looking at that right now. We could come back 6 months from now and see it at 50,000 instead of 107. All right. And that's not going to change my opinion. I am looking at this as a multi-year investment. All right. And I'm looking at least until 2030, and then maybe I'll start to reduce, but I'm still buying. I just bought more right here, right where it's at. And, so I think it's worth taking a look, see if it makes sense for you. And make sure you've got a solid idea of where this country is at financially, because it looks more and more shaky as time goes by.
Sure.
So we were talking about the mistakes people make. I spent a lot of time on Social Security. Another one is that you don't want to, right? We don't want to delay retirement contributions. Now, I think most of the people that would be interested in this show are probably older. But if you're younger, you know, the difference of starting retirement contributions at 45 versus 25 could be, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. If you are a younger person, by all means, start putting money away in that program as soon as you can, and then make it a priority. Make it a very, very high priority of your own to always contribute to your retirement plan with every paycheck. And the goal should be over time to increase the percentage that you're putting in. If you can get it up to 15%, I promise you, you will have a fantastic retirement. All right? Promise, if you do it and you stick to it. But that's the thing, is you got to do it and you got to commit to it and stick with it, and don't ever take that money out for any reason, even if your kids beg you to. All right? Don't do it. Something else that I think is one of the biggest problems that people have, that some boomers make, is they underestimate healthcare costs. Right?
A lot of people, easy to do. We don't want to think about it.
Oh God, I know, right? I mean, how much healthcare is absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. I think we pay so much more than the rest of the world. It's outrageous. But it is a reality, and we've probably all seen the figures that show a couple that's 65 retiring today. They estimate over $300,000 is what you're gonna have to fork over for healthcare. Now that's the total over your lifetime. All right. So a lot of people don't realize, though, that Medicare does not cover the entire bill. Right? It covers 80%. You're on the hook for the rest of it unless you have a supplement plan, or you can go to the private insurer route. But just make sure you research that, guys. If you decide you want to go on the Medicare Advantage side, which is the private insurer route, which more than half of the population is choosing now. Versus several years ago, it wasn't that much. It's because they pitch you with a very low deductible. A lot of people, they pitch zero. I mean, I'm sorry, zero premium payment.
Zero premium, yeah.
Zero premium. So you don't have to pay a dime, right? That, of course, is what gets a lot of people to sign up. But there have been a lot of reports over the last year about a lot of doctors and medical groups leaving the program because of problems with getting paid, problems with reimbursements, things like that. So I've seen a lot of reports about people that were not satisfied, they were not happy with the Medicare Advantage program, and the problem with that is then when you switch, now you've got to go through underwriting, and now they can jack your premiums or they can maybe not accept you because of pre-existing conditions, but they don't have that choice if you sign up in the very first year. If you sign up right when you turn 65, they have to take you. And regardless of what shape you're in. So just be aware of that if you're thinking about going a different route, because it could be harder to get back in the program later on. And you also want to make sure that you don't miss signing up, okay? If you sign up late for Medicare, they're going to penalize you by charging you a higher premium every month for life. For life, okay? It's not a one-time penalty, okay? So sign up 3 months before you turn 65. You know, if you'd like to talk about it, give me a call. It's not something that I sell directly, but I'm certainly happy to help to cover some of the highlights with you.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you talk about the turning 65. A friend of mine, good friend, he's 63. He's counting the months till he can sign up for Social Security.
Oh my gosh, I get it. I'm looking forward.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It's fantastic. Oh
yeah.
God, it's actually far cheaper than the private insurance market.
Well, that's the thing. You start to look at it and you go, holy cow. I mean, I'm on Medicare and I compare my plan to my wife's plan for what we pay for her and what compared to what I get. I mean, holy cow.
Holy cow.
My wife needs to get older faster.
Yeah, that, you know, that makes me think of what my mother used to say. You be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly.
you're always wanting to be older.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's no question. No question, though. Medicare is a fantastic deal, in my opinion. I like traditional Medicare, and then I like to pair it, you know, to pick up the prescription drug plan and to pick up a supplement plan that makes sense for your lifestyle. Because remember, guys, Medicare does not work outside of the U.S., okay? Unless you get a supplement that has a provision that would enable that. But even then,
it's basically an emergency room situation.
Right?
I mean,
that I'm not an expert on, but I do
know
that.
No, I'm not either, but I do know that, yeah.
Yeah, but I've read some horror stories about people that get sick.
Me too.
Like if you're on a cruise, those are not considered covered. Okay,
if outside international waters, 160 miles out or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I read one story about a couple that was on a cruise and they got sick, and the guy had to be airlifted right from the cruise ship off the ship. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let him go until they paid their bill, their medical bill, the medical bill they incurred on the ship. Okay.
And wow. So that doesn't seem very friendly.
No, that wasn't very cruise friendly, right? But that's what happened. So make sure you know that if you plan on traveling internationally, make sure you consider maybe you should get an additional insurance plan to cover you while you're gone. Just be aware of the limitations of Medicare, especially if you travel outside the States.
That's great advice.
Okay. So then the other topic on that healthcare situation, I've talked about it many times before. I'll just say briefly, the health savings account, the HSA, is a fantastic tool if you can qualify. If you're a self-employed person, take a look at it. Give me a call. I'll be happy to go through it with you. I've got one for me and my wife. It's the best tax-free account that's out there. So if you can do it, that would be a great way to help you offset those healthcare costs in retirement.
Well, and again, getting started early with an HSA. I mean, if you're in your 50s and you start, you know, funding an HSA, holy cow, that's going to be fantastic when you turn 65.
It'll be fantastic because you can put away several thousand a year.
Yeah.
And of course, like everything else, the sooner, the younger you start, the more you can put into this thing.
Yes.
And the nice thing about the HSA is that it goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free as long as you follow the rules, okay? And they're very generous. They let you cover a lot of different things. And actually, I believe the legislation in Congress right now is actually going to add more. It's going to expand it to maybe even include like a gym membership in your in the HSA. So I know a minute ago I was saying we've got too much debt. But hey, if nobody else seems to care about it, then I'm just going to try to take advantage of it and move forward. So if the provision is there, I will take advantage of it. I'm saving my HSA money until my mid-70s is my plan. The government lets you accumulate it and then go back and pay yourself back for all the medical bills that you incurred as long as you have the documentation. So that's my plan. If you'd like to talk more about it, just give me a call, guys. I'd be happy to go through it with you.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.